January 24th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. While the ongoing drama around the memo and the text messages, while being genuinely based in real corruption, seems to more and more be distracting from much larger agendas at play, as is the deep state modus operandi, no one ever seems to be held accountable for these scandals, as the next revelation always seems to eclipse the thought of actual charges from the one before. The Turkish push into Syria has seemed to now justify, if not legitimize, the current controversial U.S. effort to build a 30,000-man force at the border, and a serial sex offender of minors is sentenced to 175 years in prison, which, to their credit, some mainstream outlets have covered. So let's get into it. Starting from the articles from yesterday, coming out of activistpost.com, written by Brandon Turbeville, The Path to Persia and the Ongoing Plot to Destroy Iran. With the recent unrest in Iran seemingly organized and orchestrated by outside forces such as the U.S. Color Revolution apparatus in concert with Saudi Arabia, it is becoming more and more clear to individuals observing the situation in the Middle East that the plan to destroy Iran is now coming into view. Even before Syria was destabilized by Western forces in 2011, Iran had been placed on the chopping block on the list of countries that would be ripped apart for the crime of not acquiescing to dictates of the Western financial system. From being included in Bush's Axis of Evil speech to being discussed by the Project for a New American Century as a target shortly before 9/11 became the new Pearl Harbor to justify the rapid spread of American empire across the world and eviscerate what was left of civil liberties at home, Iran has been in the crosshairs of the Western financier system. Likewise, Iran was identified by General Wesley Clark as one of the countries set to be attacked and destroyed by the United States after 9/11. Ever since 2001, Iran has been a topic of discussion by politicians, intelligence agencies, the military, and a myriad of Western financier think tanks in terms of how the country can be best destroyed, destabilized, or weakened. While the recent protests may have disappeared from the headlines and the streets, the plan to bring Iran to its knees is no doubt continuing. Indeed, a plan that has seen such massive amounts of commitment, spanning decades of administrations, is not likely to be abandoned anytime soon. After all, the United States recently announced that it will not be leaving Syria, and essentially admitted that it will continue to support the creation of Kurdistan. As documents, think tanks, and important geostrategic actors have repeatedly demonstrated through their writings, Iran remains an immensely important target. The streets of Iran may be quiet today, but if the United States, NATO, GCC, and Israel have anything to say about it, they won't be for long. The next story from yesterday coming from Inside Syria Media Center's Sophie Mangal, who also writes for The Last American Vagabond, Turkey's olive branch military agenda has incited the Pentagon to intensify training of U.S.-sponsored Kurdish border security forces. According to Reuters, the Pentagon has intensified military training of the Syrian border security forces along the border areas. It will become a basis for the new Syrian Kurds army. Washington realizes that Ankara is getting out of control and a robust military fist along the borderline will only assist Erdogan. U.S. support for the SDF has put enormous strain on ties with NATO ally Turkey, which views the YPG as an extension of the Kurdistan Borders Party, a group that has waged a three-decade insurgency in Turkey and is considered a terrorist group by the European Union, Turkey, and the United States. So what will be the outcome? It appears that this confrontation between the U.S. and Turkey could have catastrophic consequences for the parties involved, and especially for the Kurds, not to mention the whole region in general. It would also drive a wedge into the inner structures of NATO. Yet it was just reported that Erdogan was in a phone call with Trump himself, and due to aspects like that, I still have my doubts about the reality of this war. But if the U.S. does indeed beef up its border force, which oddly this entire war has now created the real justification for, we may well be seeing a genuine battle between supposed allies here. But with the history of the U.S., that seems unlikely to me, but we'll keep you apprised of the situation. Coming to the next story out of ZeroHedge.com, Democrats demand Twitter, Facebook crack down on hashtag release the memo, Russian bots. There's just one problem. According to Twitter's internal analysis of the hashtag, they found them to be authentic American accounts, not Russians, who are driving hashtag release the memo, according to the Daily Beast. So really, we need to begin to question, we should be questioning everything that comes out around this story, but is this a distraction? Is this a psyop in general? I mean, everything we're getting to go on from this story is coming from sources that we should be questioning today. But we need to remember that in most cases, there are those on both sides of the aisle working toward their shared goal, war, and the distraction of its execution. Now, I know many dutifully committed to one side or the other don't want to hear that, but most of them are likely not listening to this show. But if you are, you must begin to see past the two-party deception and the division at play. They are on the same side at the end of the day, and it's not your side. Moving into the stories coming from today, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, whistleblower confirms secret society meetings between FBI and DOJ to undermine Trump. Now again, it just seems like an attempt to extend this drama. More anonymous sources and speculation, all alluding to some entity behind the scenes trying to blow the lid off. But what do we really know here? This is seeming more and more to be an ongoing drama. The corruption is very real. We have to remember that. But it seems the overarching point here is that there are those within trying to fight and expose this. And that may well be the deception in general. Just as John Rappaport said yesterday, it's rescue from above. The idea of being floated is just kind of sit back and wait to be rescued by those fighting the good fight. Well, screw that. While I hope that is indeed happening, I plan to fight the good fight myself. Coming to the next story out of the antimedia.org, written by Carrie Wedler, get out of jail free cards are real, and the cops have been giving them away. A little-known police privilege doled out by a major union is now making mainstream headlines. According to a report from the New York Post, the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, which represents officers in New York City, recently cut the number of, quote, get-out-of-jail-free cards officers can issue to their friends and family for minor infractions. It's quoted in saying, the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association boss, Pat Lynch, slashed the maximum number of cards that could be issued to current cops from 30 to 20 and to retirees from 20 to 10. As it turns out, get-out-of-jail-free cards are not a simple fictional aspect of the Monopoly board game. When officers give these cards out, recipients can theoretically use them to claim stature by signaling to other officers who pull them over that they know other cops. They reduce their chances of being cited. Lynch reportedly cut the number of cards issued because some were being sold on eBay. Now, first of all, this is something that I can personally attest to, having police officers, well, former police officers in my family. This is a very real aspect here. The real idea behind the scenes is that there are different sets of laws for different groups of people, and those involved in certain circles are held to a different standard. The simple fact that you can put a card out and say, look, I know somebody, and you get away with a crime is astounding to me. And it's something that is the biggest point to make here is this transcends simple infractions. This is the kind of thing we are seeing all across the board today and is being very openly revealed in aspects like the FBI and the DOJ, that people like Hillary Clinton are not being held accountable for the very real crimes that we're aware of. Moving into the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, too big to believe, massive scandal is brewing at the FBI. During the financial crisis, the federal government bailed out banks and declared too big to fail, fearing their bankruptcy might trigger economic Armageddon. The feds propped them up with taxpayer cash. Something similar is happening now at the FBI, with the Washington wagon circling the agency to protect it from charges of corruption. This time, the appropriate tagline is too big to believe. Yet each day brings credible reports suggesting there's a massive scandal involving the top ranks of America's premier law enforcement agency. The reports, which feature talks among agents of a secret society and suddenly missing text messages, point to the existence of both a cabal dedicated to defeating Donald Trump in 2016 and of a plan to let Hillary Clinton skate free in the classified email probe. If either one is true, it means FBI leaders betrayed the nation by abusing their power in a bid to pick the president. And again, I ask the main question here is why these people are not being held accountable. And this becomes very clear that the people involved here are not allowing it to happen. We know that crimes happen. I mean, that's not debatable any longer. We have crimes that have taken place. And we know at the very least that agencies were involved. So people need to be held accountable, and it's simply not happening. And I think that as this develops, we're going to continue to see the reality of that, that there are two different sets of laws for the peons and for the elite. And that's what we're seeing take place right in front of us. So we need to continue to speak up until something actually takes place or these people are no longer in power. Moving on to the final story of the day, a story I covered this morning. Ex-USA gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar sentenced to 175 years in prison on sex assault charges. Larry Nassar, the former Team USA gymnastics doctor, was previously sentenced to 60 years in prison after pleading guilty in July for three counts of child pornography charges, wherein approximately 37,000 graphic images and videos of child pornography were found on his computer and hard drive. The doctor was also accused of sexually assaulting women, including underage girls from the team. Ali Raisman, an Olympic gold medalist, said that Nasir began abusing her when she was only 13. Michaela Maroney, another Olympic gold medalist, referred to Nasir as a monster and accused him of molesting her at age 13. And now, thankfully, this monster will spend the rest of his life behind bars. Michigan Circuit Court Judge Rosemary Aquilina just sentenced former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nasir to 175 years in prison for molesting female gymnasts after a week of emotional testimony. He's also scheduled to be sentenced next week on more assault convictions in Easton County, Michigan. "I just signed your death warrant," Aquilina said, after saying earlier that Nasir will be, quote, "in darkness the rest of his life." She's also quoted in saying, "I find that you don't get it. You're a danger. You remain a danger." Aquilina said it was her, quote, "honor and privilege to sentence Nasir. We should hope that such a sentence is meant to be carried out in full, in which he can recount the pain he caused these children, during which he will likely endure similar pains himself. And as it is nice to see these villains held accountable for their crimes, I am still fighting to see the real criminals behind bars. And until such time, this fight is not over, nor will it ever likely be over, as there will always be another willing to step into their place, which is why we stand in their way and speak the truth at all costs." For more information on the topics discussed today, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.